Blog Talk Radio.
I'm in beast mode. 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 Beast mode. Beast mode. Beast mode. I'm in beast mode. Beast mode. Beast mode. Beast mode. Beast mode. I'm in beast mode.
The king's people, dog, is who we are. Who is by yelling, man, I'm kinda working on my raw. While the world tries to persecute me, the line of Judas with me, nothing you can do to me. If he be lifted up, he'll draw all men. Covered by his blood, hashtag all in. I'm suited up, man, I know you hear the armor clanging. Walking, fighting against the spirit, no time for fleshly banging.
No time for fleshly
banging. Ain't got no time for the naysayers. I can do all things, cause I'm strengthened by my savior. Heal the sick, raise the dead, and make the lame walk. But you gotta fast and pray, I tell you, dog, that's kingdom talk.
Kingdom talk. Kingdom
I've been
talk.
Saved and I ain't turning back. Going hard for the kingdom till the day the sky cracks. Life
crack.
Eternally. Man, can you picture that? Paid for by the cross that he bore on his back.
On his
the
back.
Kingdom being preached sea to sea and coast to coast. Powered by the Holy Ghost.
I'm in beast mode. 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 Beast mode. Beast mode. Beast mode. I'm in beast mode. Beast mode. Beast mode. Beast mode. I'm in beast mode.
What's going on, good people? Welcome back to another edition of Kingdom Talk Radio. Y'all know who this is, man. This is your humble host, Tony Dyson. Man, first, giving honor to God, whom every day I make the head of my life. To my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, from whom all blessings flow. To my pastor, Bishop Anthony Taylor of the New Hope Worship Center. To my wife, all of you all that continue to listen in, week out. What is going on, people? It's a blessed day. You know what I'm saying? God is steady delivering. You know what I'm saying? Blessings. And, you know, I look at it from this standpoint, just by staying faithful. By this time next year, man, we'll be exactly where we need to be. So praise God. To all of you out there, man, that continue to listen, support the show, much appreciated. To my people in Mississippi and Louisiana, man, I heard you got some storms and some tornadoes rolling through there. I pray for your safety. To my Tennessee listeners, man, the wildfires and everything, you know, that's breaking out there. If I have any listeners from Ohio, man, God bless you. You know, there's a lot going around right now, you know what I'm saying? But I'm going to tell you like this. No matter how hectic stuff get, man, keep your eyes on the prize. Don't let go. Don't give up. Don't let your situations or your circumstances dictate you. You dictate your situations and your circumstances. You feel me? All right, man, so this is what I'm going to do. The name of the show tonight, the title of the show, man, what we're going to talk about is church clothes. Now, the thing is that when we start talking about church clothes, I'm not talking about, like, the garments. You know what I'm saying? It's like people come to church dressed in a whole different persona and mindset and attitude than they do in their everyday life. So the thing is that, you know, not only is the outside dressed up and glamored up, I'm sorry, you know what I'm saying, but the inside, you know, we try to dress and glamor up the inside too. And it's like we addicted to vanity. We addicted to what people go think about us. You know what I'm saying? We addicted to what people go say about our lives. So this song right here by my boy C. Michael, man, this song is so fitting. And we're going to go right on in. This song is called Vanity. Take a listen. We'll be right back with more Kingdom Talk very shortly.
We all want to make it. Make it real big. I guess this is how we live. Or why we live.
All of it's vanity.
But I thought we supposed to do this
all
for a bigger purpose.
All
it's a secret
vanity.
Thing. Vanity.
12 years plus I've been pushing, trying to top the game, steady pushing. Gotta get these lines right, really get these lines right. Saying I promote Christ, but really want the limelight. When the time's right, I'ma settle in. Maybe chart a little pay to make my record spin. Sugarcoat sin, elevate grace. Turn a blind out of pride just to save face. Homie, I swear this ain't a safe place for us to make it. Most think that this should take place so we can share the stage and parlay with so and so. A little compromise turns into more and more. But the Great Commission, it's a major sight. How can we do this if we love the world and live trite? I had to get it right and flee calamity. If the gospel not my purpose, then it's vanity.
Oh yeah, I see you looking. Oh yeah, you see me shining. See, the fame was a good thing. And that green brought me earth thing. But it took away from God's thing. Such a tragedy.
Yeah.
Don't waste your faith on this.
Single after single. CD after CD, forever on my grind, but I still do not see the results of the plan to be the man. See me, that pride is a subtle thing, dormant, sneaky. Started out focused, giving hope to the hopeless. Now we gotta be on Zilla, aligned with the dopest. Do a monkey dance for a chance to be noticed. But the hope of our calling is lost, out of focus. This ain't just me, or ain't just we. It's for the entire body to be set free. Really set free for his kingdom work. Not for selfish gain, that ain't how his kingdom work. He got my life till I leave this earth. When my spirit rise and my flesh is in the dirt. No more chasing after fame and it's simple works. Cause I live my life for Christ and he gives me work.
Oh yeah, I see you looking. Oh yeah, you see me shining. See, the fame was a good thing. And that green brought me earth thing. But it took away from God's thing. Such a tragedy. Don't waste your faith on this vanity.
Man, once again, that song was called Vanity. I love that song, man. Like, seriously, I've been waiting to get this song, like, forever. So, man, moving on, you know, we're going to jump right into the topic on tonight, man. First Samuel 16 and 7. Well, actually, I was right. Psalms 139 and 14. It states, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. And it stated, you know, that we are created in the image of God, and God don't make junk. You know what I'm saying? Every person is unique. Each person is not the same. So, therefore, we ain't got to try to match somebody else's appearance, you know what I'm saying, or even their lifestyle, all right? 1 Samuel 16 and 7, but the Lord said unto Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things that man looks at. Man looks at the outer appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And it's like we've gotten so focused on what people look on, how people look on the outside. If they dressed a certain way, what type of shoes they got on. Even if you look at, you know, our kids in school, you know, some kids feel self-conscious because they're not wearing Jordans or the latest LeBrons or the latest Nikes or whatever to school. And the thing is that many times we get more caught up on putting more effort and time into being pretty and vain. We put more effort and time on our wardrobe, make sure our shoes are shined and everything's in the right place, each piece of hair, beard perfectly trimmed and not a hair out of place. Now, I'm not saying that there is anything wrong with having yourself together. All right. So don't let me fool you to I'm saying that we should just walk around looking like rags. But what I'm saying is that we put more time into our appearance than we do our relationship with God. And the thing is that and it's crazy because we find more women who claim that they love Christ trying to find the perfect outfit, get the perfect hairdo, have the perfect body. And as I say, there's nothing wrong with wanting to look pretty, but we need to make sure that it's in balance with our heart and our mindset. You know what I'm saying? We need to make sure that there's a balance with God. See, God would rather for us to be drop-dead gorgeous on the inside, man. And the thing is that too many times we get caught up on how we think people should look, what a preacher should have on, and you know what I'm saying, or how you should come to church. I mean, we talked about that. But the thing is that, you know, a lot of people dress up to come to church. They dress up their attitude. They dress up their smile. They dress up their walk. They dress up their talk. Some people even dress up their concern for you just because they're at church. So they have on their church clothes. What's starting to happen right now, people, is that this fascination now with church clothes, because it's like we want to come to church with the best smile on. And I understand that we come to church and thank and praise God and for the assembly of the saints. But what I'm saying is that it's like a fashion show of egos for the, look what I did, for the, you know, look what I can do. And so we can get the attaboy and the accolades and the thank yous and the pats on the back. And what's starting to happen, those who are coming to church that are really trying to seek God, those that are coming to church to really look for a breakthrough spiritually in their lives, they're beginning to fall away because the spirit is not indwelling within the place, because our concentration is on something else. Our hearts are not centered to receive God. Our mindsets are not centered to receive God. Instead, we're so concerned about our outward appearance. And then we wonder why God says, Christ says, behold, lo, I stand at the door and I knock. Thing is that jewelry and hair and shoes and all this other things, you know what I'm saying? Even our body shape, you know what I'm saying? 1 Timothy 4:8, it says physical exercise has some value, but spiritual exercise is much more important, for it promises a reward in both this life and the next. Too many times we're so focused on going to the gym and being in physical shape to where people adorn us. You know what I'm saying? But we got to be in spiritual shape as well. Praying, fasting, having a communication with God. You know what I'm saying? I'm just going to be real with y'all, man. I mean, can I be real? Anybody going to give me permission? But check this out. Back in the day, in my vain days, all right? You know what I'm saying? When I say in my vain days, that means, you know, I should look at people for outward worth. You know what I'm saying? And there'd be times, you know, where I would go out to the club or out in general, you know what I'm saying, and you will see, and I want to make sure that I'm correct when I say this time, you know what I'm saying, you would see a not so, or who you thought was not so good looking male or female with another female or male that was, you know what I'm saying, really cute. And, you know, your first thing in your mindset and the outward appearance to be like, man, why that cute girl with that ugly dude? Or, you know what I'm saying, why that cute dude? Or, you know, females be like, why that cute dude with that ugly girl? You know what I'm saying? And what it is that we're looking at things from an external point. And the thing is that we don't know that person. We don't know their heart. We don't know their mind. We don't know their actions, their personality. You know, they could be one of the sweetest people on God's green earth, but we're judging superficially. And too many times we take that approach to church with us, man. Because someone doesn't sing the way that we think that they should sing, a praise dance the way that we think they should dance, or preach the way that we think they should preach, because they ain't all glamored up. They're preaching a praise dance and a singing from their heart, but because it ain't what we expecting, we are wondering why they even get up there and do that. But God is looking at it from the motive. See, there's a difference between actions and motives. You know what I'm saying? God looks at our motives, not our actions. He said, you honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. And now what we have a massive falling away at the church, man. To where church is becoming more of a task and a chore versus a I'm so glad they said, I was so glad what they said unto me. Let us go into the house of the Lord. It's like, man, I don't want to go to church. And I'm not speaking individually, but what I'm saying is that it's going on right now. If you start to look at your church homes, man, they're becoming more and more empty because more focus has started to become on people. We don't support necessarily the kingdom of God. See, the thing is if we supported the kingdom of God, when people come with a right heart, a right mindset, trying to serve God, and they have a plan, we will embrace them. We wouldn't hopscotch and pick and choose who we're going to support. Where it's mandatory, we support this person, but this other person, oh well. Where it's mandatory, we go here, but when that person is doing something, oh well. See, that church closed attitude, that church closed mindset. Well, I want you up front when this group of people are here, but when that group of people are here, never mind. Or I want to acknowledge you in front of this set of people, but in front of that set of people, never mind. So now the church closed mentality has started to take shape, form, and fashion in the church to where it's like, wow, this is what the church has become? This is what really has happened to the church? To where people are more concerned with the condition of your hat than they are the condition of your heart? Where people are more concerned with where you've been for the last 3 weeks versus is there anything that I can do for you? Where people are more concerned about who's singing versus who needs help? This is the state of the church at this point in time because everybody is coming with that church closed type mentality. The church closed type mentality will have you start to overlook people that need help and need assistance the most. Thing is, or what we like to say, is when someone has looked for, reached out for help, when someone has looked for, reached out for guidance, and they don't receive it, and they really start looking to God instead of looking to people, and their membership to the church falls off, their tithes and their offering fall off, their general support of extracurricular activities starts to fall off, because those people feel like, I don't see the representation of God here anymore. I don't see Christ represented in this place anymore. So rather than be a hypocrite, and y'all, I'm just going to tell the truth. It's like, I just serve God in my own way. And I know some people going to say, well, that's not right. But, you know, you will stop coming to a empty table to eat after some point. You know, I look at the young people nowadays, and, you know, the young people are so analytical. And the thing is that, you know, we have really forgotten to exercise and show them the practical Jesus, man. We have really forgotten to show them who Jesus really is and power he actually gave us. It's like ministries nowadays are so focused around membership and money that we forgot the man and we forgot to mentor and make disciples. We forgot to include family and realize that people have families. We forgot to implicate, you know, say that people have lives and other things to tend to at times. But it's all supposedly for the sake of ministry. Huh. I said it before, and I'll say it again, you know, especially as a man in the church, man, or as a man that is seeking after God and seeking after Christ, your house is your first ministry. Your family is your first ministry. And now we're at a point to where our kids don't really want to come to church. And this is the messed up thing about it. Kids and young people, you know the saying, real recognizes real. If we come to church with our church clothes on, these young people are saying it. Well, mom and daddy, I don't see you recognize God no other time but except for when we're in church. At home, you cuss and fuss and do all this other stuff. But at church, you know, this is the only time you see God or try to recognize God. So, mama, daddy, I ain't feeling what y'all talking about. Y'all wasting my time. Because of our church clothes mentality. People of God, man, we got to stop trying to position ourselves in society. Society has ruined us this far. Society has ruined us to the point of we don't know which way is up. Society has dismantled our marriages, dismantled our families, and tampering with our children. It's messing with our lifestyle. But as long as we got the church clothes mentality, we want to dress it up like everything is okay. Sometimes you feel like you're broken and you want to cry. And sometimes that's the best way to express yourself. But a church clothes mentality will have you prideful or regretful. Feel like that you can't say anything or do anything or ask anyone for anything. Or the church clothes mentality will be that people are this way around this person, another way around you, or vice versa. To where now there's chaos in the church. There's no trust in the church. There's no love in the church. I'm going to play this song by Trip Lee, man. It's called Sweet. I really want you to pay attention to the lyrics of this song, man. We'll be right back with more Kingdom Talk on Blog Talk.
Hands in the air, make a little noise in the stands if you're there. Brag on the guy, man, if you're there, only if you're there. That'll be sweet. What if when you brag, it wasn't about the clothes with the tags? That'll be sweet. What if when you brag, look about him who's the first and the last? That'll be sweet. Heard him talking like they had, man. Somebody got him gassed up on that octane. Look, I hate to tell them they ain't better. Better get an umbrella, got rain. Let's go back in time to Lake Haiti. D-10, hold me down, that's where they made me. When I'm back there, ain't vacation. Why? Feels like I'm home, think I'm about staying. I ain't staying out. Ooh, I read, yeah. Lone Star sacred, heck it, I forget it. Yeah. But I ain't popping back the blue. It's fly, hey, nip me. I ain't talking about the shoe. Shoot, I got a lot of problems, but I'm straight.
That's sweet.
I know my guy to talk to him in the lake.
That's sweet.
Tell you he the boss, sending him anything, a piece of cake.
That's sweet.
Hands in the air, make a little noise in the stands if you're there. Rag on the guy, man, if you're there, only if you're there, that'll be
sweet.
What if when you brag, it wasn't about the clothes with the tags? That'll be
sweet.
What if when you brag, it's about to move the first to the last? That'll be
sweet.
Yeah. Heard them talking like they had, man. Somebody got them gassed up on that octane. Look, I hate to tell them they ain't better get an umbrella, got rain. I've been in the A lot this year. Protecting these songs that I spit here.
since 2010 been clear. What? Everybody talking about you gotta live here.
I think they got me now. Ooh, I already.
Yeah.
Lone Star State bred, how could I forget it? Middle school, we was from a Swisher House, though. Had a freestyle, done it like a Swisher House flow. Saying, man, hold on.
Froze like ice cream.
But he opened up my eyes, bruh. Sweet. All my people were surprised, bruh. Sweet. Cause I used to rap out games that I never had, then I came alive, bruh. Sweet.
Get them hands in the air. Make a little noise in the stands if you're there. Brag on the gap, man, if you're there. Only if you're there. That'd be sweet.
That's sweet.
What if when you brag, it wasn't about to close with the tags? That'd be sweet.
That's sweet.
What if when you brag, it's about to move the first to the last? That'd be sweet.
That's sweet.
Yeah. Heard them talking like they had mine. Somebody got them gassed up on that octane. Look, I hate to tell them they ain't better get an umbrella guy rhyme. Huh. Say they make it happen.
Make it happen.
But they really only try. My dad is the captain, he can really make it happen. He been raining in the sky. Ooh. They say they make it rain. They really only throw cash. But my lord's running in his own lane, makes rain foul in the sunny crash. We think we tell time. But we really only reading our clock. My dad existed before time, and he's only when I start mouth flapping. Say we got it in control. Nope, but it's really a mirage. My dad, he can keep the world running while directing all the planets in the stars. Sweet.
Everybody going back,
that's
sweet.
Everybody going back, that's sweet.
That's sweet.
Not sweet, but sweet.
That's sweet.
With an SH, bro.
That's sweet.
Yes, sir.
You know, as that song was playing, you know, if you paid attention to a line or two in the hook, he said, what if when we brag, it wasn't about the clothes or the tag? That'd be sweet. And the thing is that I understand that we want people to know what God has done for us, like, tangibly. But how many of us really let people know what God has done for us spiritually? Renewed mindset, renewed heart, you know what I'm saying? Renewed motives. And the thing is that when we start to brag on those types of things, then we understand God. You know, it's kind of like a kid that only brags on their parents when they get something new. Ooh, my daddy best. He bought me these new shoes. My daddy better than y'all's. But what happens when them shoes get old? Are you and the kids pointing at you and laughing? Or be like, ooh, them shoes old. They came out last year. Are you still going to think your father or your mother is the best? So the thing is that we got to continue to point back towards God. Man, you know, scripture says, whereby their fruits, you shall know them. And this is what we have to realize. Everybody sees the tree. All right? I mean, just imagine anything, even right now, as you walk outside, fall is amongst us. The leaves are falling. The trees look naked. You know what I'm saying? And in some cases, once winter hit, the trees will look almost dead. But the thing is that the season is coming back for the tree to be revitalized, to blossom green once again. A lot of times our lives are like that as we go from one stage to another. That there are times that we have to shed. God has to bring us, break us down to the bare minimum. But if you look at that tree when it first started, it was a little bitty, in most cases, you know what I'm saying? It was a little bitty tree, man, that had to be planted. It was so small, so skinny, so frail, had only a few branches, a few leaves, it looked pitiful. If the wind blew too hard, you know what I'm saying, it would bend back and forth. But every year, that tree would go through its process of shedding, dumping all its leaves on the ground, turning brown. Every year, another layer was added to its bark. And I remember back in my school days, you know, they always taught us that, like, if you cut down a tree and looked at the rings on the inside, that you could tell how long that tree has been around. Well, there are too many of us right now that are not trying to get those extra rings of life around us because we always want it to be summertime. And I'm not saying that it can't be, but we got to embrace it when the other times come. It's a pruning and a growing process. And the issue is right now, man, is that many people have seen or know that there is no love in the church. And our leaders have gotten so blindsided by the glitz and the glamour and the putting up on pedestal type congregations to where it's not even addressed. We want to teach it, but we don't want to speak on it. We don't want to address it. You know, and the crazy thing is, and as I was saying earlier, is about when people have gotten so fed up with church and they start to fall away because they don't have that fire. They still love God, still love Christ, but they begin to fall away. They begin to fall off. And nobody misses them. They begin to not hold service in the regard in which they once did. So now their commitment, they feel, I'm not committed. My commitment is to God. My commitment is to Christ. And even so, as church is a small part of the picture, our lifestyle, you know what I'm saying, accounts for that. Our mindset, our actions. But when you get to a place to where you feel like that, everyone has on a mask. Everyone is phony. Everybody's Sunday happy. Everybody is Sunday concerned. And when I say everybody's Sunday concerned, I'm talking about fellowship. Greet your neighbors, tell them you love them. But I've been gone for 3 weeks and things have happened and nobody called. The thing that's ruining the establishment of the church right now is that the priorities are in the wrong place. We're so busy pumping up celebrations and auxiliary concerts and singing programs and honoring this person and honoring that person. And trust and believe, the word says give honor where honor is due. But it seems that we're at the point in time that we're honoring man way more than we honor God. We'll break our neck for people, but won't break our neck for God. It's something to be said, you all. Then we see and wonder why memberships are on the decline. Because of church clothes. A church-like mentality. It's, you know, as I've worked my or as I was working my other job on Sundays. After a certain time on Sundays, you know, kind of wanted to just leave work. And I'm not going to even sit here in front, man, because the ones with the biggest hats, the biggest suits and the shiniest shoes will be the most ignorant and the most evil. Fresh out of church. Thing is that in most places we go to on Sundays, you know, whether it's out to eat or to the store, a lot of the people, you know, probably have church homes, but it was mandatory for them to work, or they know nothing about God. They know nothing about Christ. And then they encounter people in church clothes. And I'm not talking about the apparel. I'm talking about the mindset. And they feel like, well, if that's what it be like to be saved, I don't even want no parts of that. Or when we go to extracurricular programs and, you know, fights break out in the church. But people just break up the fight like it's normal. The respect level for God's house has started to deteriorate along with the fabric of humanity at this point. And then we wonder why the things that are going on are going on. God is not just boxed up inside the church. His word and his power is not just boxed up and sitting next to us on the pew. But for many, the only time they can speak in tongues is at church. For many, the only time they can lay hands and pray for somebody is at church. For many, the only time that they can ask if you're doing okay is at church. For many, the only time that they're smiling like everything is okay is at church. I mean, and don't get me wrong, and I do feel like that if any place that you're supposed to smile and be happy, it's supposed to be at church. But where's that mentality when benediction is said? After communion and the music stop and the church doors are locked, where is that mentality when we go out to eat? Where is that mentality when brother or sister so-and-so has been missing? Where is that mentality? And I'm talking about being concerned and not being nosy. See, being nosy is wanting to know everybody's business, but you can't do nothing about it. Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me, let me backtrack, back up, take a few steps back. You won't do nothing about it. See, too many times, I'm going to lay it out here, y'all. Y'all know me. I don't hold any punches. Too many times, we're perfectly capable of helping someone else in need or, you know, say whatever situation that they may be in, but we're too selfish and too ornery not to help that person for the simple fact that we can sit up and place ourselves in a pedestal above that person. Think about it. And tell me that I'm not telling the truth. Oh, I would help sister so-and-so, but, you know. Know what? Church clothes. People of God, man, we got to get reacquainted with our walk and our love for Christ. We got to get it reacquainted with our passion. And why is it we do what we do? See, because there's going to come a day that we're going to be naked before God. And matter of fact, we're naked before God every day. But there's going to come a day, man, that is like when God was talking to Adam. Adam realized that him and Eve were naked and they hid. And that's the thing about having a church clothes mentality. Whatever God comes really seeking for us, we hide. Oh no, God, I can't do that. The only time we want to praise God is when we're out front. Other than that, we hide. Or we only helping someone when someone else's eyes are on us. We hide. The veil is coming off. And motives are being exposed. The ones that used to be quiet and just allow things to happen are not sitting idle anymore. People are migrating and moving around and moving away so they can be and start what God called for them to do without any scrutiny. And the first thing the church closed mentality says, are they... The devil got them. Well, the devil necessarily doesn't have them, but we just didn't harness them. We can't continue to hopscotch support individuals. We can't command and demand certain things out of people. The church closed mentality has the body of Christ in an uproar right now. We're not properly dressed, even though we're fully clothed. Our mindset is not geared towards the King, and it does have an impact on our lifestyle. It does have an impact on our marriages. It does have an impact on our relationships. It does have an impact on our thought process. It does have an impact on our health. And you may say, how does that have an impact on your health? So a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So if in our heart and our minds we're just this flashy type person, that's who we are to God, a flash in the pan. But if we think in our hearts and our minds, number one, we can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us. We think and know in our minds that we're more than conquerors. Our hearts will follow. You know, the worst thing that can happen to a child is for them to take interest in something. And matter of fact, I'm going to put myself in this position. As I grew up, you know, without knowing my dad, and, you know, really didn't know my mom. People would tell you, man, I was one of the fastest dudes in the neighborhood. I mean, seriously. I played sports a lot. You know, basketball, football, you know what I'm saying? I mean, even in the military. But even back, you know, when I was a youngster, you know, we didn't have a car. So, you know, my passion was to play football and, you know, run track. And I did. But game in and game out, meet in and meet out, you look up in the stands and no familiar face rooting you on. It makes you want to stop giving it your all. It makes you feel like that, you know, you're not good enough for anybody to come and see, that no one supports you to the tune of no one would take time out of their time to see you, and it hurts. So I stopped playing sports, stopped running track, Start just playing hood sports, you know what I'm saying? Doing everything else. And I said that to say this, it's like that in the church sometimes, man. And yes, I do understand that all we do for Christ, and we don't look at it, you know what I'm saying, as far as wanting accolades and things like that. But there are times when we are doing things and we look out in the stands, there's not a familiar face. There's no support. And it does make you feel some type of way to where you feel like that you're not important enough for anybody to take time out of their time to see what you're up to. And it causes church hurt. It causes church resentment. And that does translate over to our personal lives. It translates over to being a husband. It translates over to being a wife, being a father, a mother, a friend. And the thing is that everyone has that strong of a relationship with God just yet, or with Christ just yet, to where if they end up walking away from the church, they walk away from God altogether. We have to remember that. We have to show that love, show that support. I mean, it's times in churches, man, there's big deals made about this person or this group, or, you know what I'm saying, this person's gifts or this person's talents or this person's anointing. And there are other people that are, and I don't want to say better because it's not a competition type thing, but are as equally passionate. But they can never be developed. They can never be trained. Because they're thrown onto the back of the bus. But the church closed mentality. Huh. That's going to be a wrap for me tonight, y'all. But I really think that we need to revamp our thinking. Because that same person that doesn't smell so good, that doesn't look the way you think that they should look, talk as elegant as you think that they should talk, have the job that you think that they should have, that same person is out there tending the sheep, fighting the lions, fighting the bears, will be that same person that could possibly slay your giant, assist you in slaying your giant. But a church closed mentality won't allow you to see that. Let's go before the throne of grace in prayer before we end. We're not going to even play a song to end the night, man, because I really want this topic and this show to be on our minds from this step forward. Father God in heaven, we come before you. We thank you for being who you are all by yourself. We thank you for last night's grace and mercy. We thank you for today's grace and mercy. Thank you for getting us up in our right mind. Activities of our limbs, health and strength. Thank you for clothing us and starting us on our way on today, oh God. We thank you for bringing us back home safe with no hurt, harm, and danger upon us or our loved ones. We thank you that every building that we entered, every intersection that we met, every light that we were detained, that you covered us. Lord, we ask that you search us deep within. Anything that is not pleasing to your sight, that you bring it to our attention that we may deal with it, oh God. Bring it to our attention that we may deal with it, God. If it be any hurt, if it be any anger, whatever it is, God, bring it to our attention. God, if we have sinned against you knowingly or unknowingly, we ask that you forgive us. And if anyone has sinned against us knowingly or unknowingly, right now let us forgive them. Lord, we thank you for the blessings you continue to place before us daily. For God, you didn't have to do it, but you always do. Lord, we ask that we grow stronger in your word and stronger in your faith and stronger in your love. That you continue to protect our mindsets and our hearts and our souls. Lord, we ask that you propel us to becoming better husbands and fathers and mothers and wives. We ask that you propel us into becoming better children for you after your own heart, oh God. That every idea, every thought process, every breath, every action pleases you. Lord, we ask that you continue to give us power to expand your kingdom in this realm. We ask that you look after all of our leaders. We ask that you look after every household, every child. We ask that you crown the men with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Crown the men and women with patience for one another as well as their children. Whatever position or role that you place us in, may we be patient but diligent and do it within your excellence, oh God. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for you sustaining us. We thank you for your healings. We thank you for your reconciliations. We thank you for a peace of mind. Lord, we thank you for a renewed spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I always remember you all, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Faith without works is dead. It's Tony Dyson, man, signing off. Until next week. Check your closet for those church clothes, man. I love you. Ain't nothing you could do about it. Be back next Tuesday, same time, same place.